Me to Luke chapter 15, and we see another meal of celebration in Luke chapter 15. It starts with a meal, and then there's more talk about a meal. It's one of the blessings from our God that He prescribes worship to be corporate, to be together. When you look at the Old Testament festivals, the Old Testament feasts that were commanded by God, they were commanded for His people to observe, He said, come together and eat. And we like that. As Baptists, we enjoy that, those commandments, right? Who says the Old Testament isn't for today? That's our God. He could say, okay, go off by yourself and take a picnic basket with you somewhere. But He says, come together. And even here in 1 Corinthians, where they had all kinds of problems, and the pagan feasts and worship festivals were creeping into the church, He doesn't tell them, okay, you're not doing this right, so just stop doing it and just eat at home. He says, okay, when you come together, here's how you worship the Lord. Well, there's another story about feasting, about food and celebration in Luke chapter 15. And I want to take just a few moments, now that the pressure has been put on me that Mrs. Eel has heard 12 different messages on Luke chapter 15. So to try to compete with those. And not that I wasn't feeling pressure already. On Father's Day, we do welcome you as fathers, and to think back about your father. My dad was a great man, and I wish he was still here. I think many times when I'm out trying to fix the lawnmower or the commode, something like that, I say, man, I wish my dad was here, because he'd have a pair of needle nose pliers and a paper clip, and we'd get this thing running. And he could build and fix anything, and I just was not. It skipped my generation, I think. So, well, thank you for being here, and thank the Lord for your dad. None of our dads were perfect. But we try to remember the best things about them, and even the best things about them, and try to live those out in our own lives. We do have a gift for you if you are 18 and over, and a man 18 and over. The ushers will have a gift for you at the back, a little in the basket. We have baskets, okay? So you can, this is my wife, Michelle, up here, so she helps keep me organized. So we'll take just a little token of our appreciation for you being here. And let's look at Luke chapter 15 for a few moments. We don't have time to go through the whole chapter. We really don't have time to look at the older son, who is very important in this study. But I would like to look at verses 1 through 24, and I would like to see some things, some truths about our Father, our Heavenly Father. I think each one of us here today, we need a Father for our heart. You need a Father for your heart. And just as a reminder of what our Heavenly Father is like, and who He is, and as we look at this passage, you have to ask the question, which character in this story do you identify with the most? Which character are you most like in this story? And there's something we all can learn, but I think the main truth of this passage is that God is a good Heavenly Father. He's a good Heavenly Father. Let's read together. Verse 1, now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear Him. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. I really like the King James Version right there. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. It really captures their complaint and their grumbling. And so He tells them three parables, all in response to the grumblings of the Pharisees and the scribes. He talks about a man who is a shepherd. He has 100 sheep. If he lost one of them, does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? So right away we know that Jesus is not just talking about shepherd and sheep, right? He's talking about his heavenly Father and his love that he has for the lost. We see in this three parables, we see that something or someone is lost. And then we see someone looking for that which is lost. And then when they find it, there is celebration. So there's someone that's lost, there's looking, there's someone that lost it is looking for it, and then when they find it, there's celebration together. When he has found it, verse 5, when he has found this little lost sheep, he lays it on his shoulders rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, and if you look down in the notes in your ESV Bible, it'll say that this coin was worth, well, approximately a Roman denarius worth about a day's wage for a laborer. So I was trying to figure that out, and you know, if you make say you make between $100 and $150 a day as an average in our country. Say if you, let's say you make $150 a day. Some of you say, "I couldn't live on $150 a day." Some of you say, "I wish I had $150 a day." But let's say you had let's just say you had a $100 bill and you couldn't find it. Let's just work it right. Let's say you had a $100 bill. Would you look for it? Yeah. Okay. All right. So $100 gets lost, and this lady, probably more than that, but we'll say $100 coin gets lost. Oh, are you invested in silver and gold? Precious metals? My father-in-law, who's not here this week, but he said, I want you guys to see your inheritance. And so he brings out this very small box with a very small little gold coin, and you know, it's worth, because gold is up right now, you know, so he's showing, he goes, "There it is," you know. It's smaller than a dime, but it's that's what we're looking forward to, babe. So happy Father's Day. So they're looking for this $100 silver coin. She sweeps the house and seeks diligently until she finds it. And this is Jesus speaking. This is Jesus telling us what the Heavenly Father is like. When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Just so, I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. And then he tells a story of the prodigal son. A man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me." Very disrespectful to say, because you don't inherit an inheritance until your father has passed away. And basically, the prodigal son, as we call him, this youngest son, says, "Drop dead and give me what's coming to me." And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless or riotous living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And as a Jewish boy, that would have been forbidden. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. When he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired slaves, servants. And he arose and came to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, and before you I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to celebrate. Let's stop right there. I want to pray and then just make some observations with you about the Father for your heart. Lord, we rejoice in our worship today to be able to sing songs to you, to be able to remember your death on the cross in our place. And now as we would look at these parables that Jesus told us, they reflect you and your love and your compassion on us who are lost, who are straying and unrighteous and disrespectful and ungrateful and sinning against you. And may we see a heart of our Father in heaven like we've never seen before, in Jesus' name, amen. Verse 1, now the tax collectors and sinners were drawing near to hear him. Who are the tax collectors? These are Jewish men who work for the Romans. They work for the Roman government. These were despised among the Jewish people. They felt like they were traitors. They were taxing the Jewish people who really wanted their own freedom and really didn't want to be ruled by anybody, but this is the situation that they have found themselves in. And these men would work for the Roman government, would take taxes, keep some for themselves, and send the rest on to Caesar, send the rest on to Rome. And they were hated and despised. These are the tax collectors. Well, let's move on to sinners. Sinners is just that. They're sinners. The idea is they were known to be sinners. We're all sinners, right? I mean, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But these guys were really known to be sinners. These were the people that if you saw in town, you maybe would kind of direct your kids to go the other way, maybe across the street or down a different aisle. These are sinners. These are not the kind of people that we have over to a barbecue. Okay? If you had them over, they'd probably embarrass you. Because they're sinners. And the Pharisees and the scribes, who are they? Verse 2, if you look at the Pharisees, these are the religious leaders of Israel. They began during the captivity time. They wanted to uphold the laws and traditions of Israel. They started out with this really good purpose. They didn't want the people to forget the Lord, to forget the law. They wanted to uphold the old ways of Israel. And to keep the people from breaking the laws, they would develop extra laws just to keep you from doing something you shouldn't do. What they started out doing was a good thing. Really was. They were trying to uphold. They didn't want to be swept into the idolatry and paganism of Babylon. They wanted to remember the law and remember the Lord. But in time, they elevated their traditions above the commandments of God. And they tried to enforce their own legalism and their own laws onto the people of God. And they began to ignore the law of God. The scribes are the ones who are experts in the law, experts in the Old Testament. They would copy out large portions of Scripture. These were... The Pharisees and scribes were looked up to as the great religious leaders of the nation of Israel. People were just so impressed by how they wore white robes, unlike the common people who would have maybe more colorful robes. They would wear white robes, and they would stop in the street and pray, and people would listen. And you would want to invite a Pharisee or a scribe to your event, because it would kind of take your event up a notch. You know, it'd be sort of like having a celebrity come. And so they would expect, when they came to dinner, they would expect to sit right at the head of the table as honored guests. So they're looking down at the tax collectors and sinners, and where are the tax collectors and sinners? They're with Jesus, who was a rabbi. Jesus is a teacher. Even the Pharisees, who hated Jesus, they recognized him as a teacher of the law. They would, when they addressed him, they would call him teacher. He was a rabbi. And rabbis did not do this sort of thing. They did not eat with the hoi polloi. They did not invite these kind of fellows and ladies to be in their close company, but Jesus did. And so the scribes and the Pharisees are pretty mad about this. This man receives sinners. He welcomes them in, and he eats with them. They probably haven't even washed their hands. And he eats with them. And so this gives Jesus this opportunity to explain that sinners are the very people who need to be saved. Things that are lost need to be found. And our God is very concerned about finding those who are lost and seeking and looking. Because things that are lost, and specifically people who are lost, are very valuable to God, to the Father. And so when he finds a sinner who will repent, there is great celebration, like if a shepherd lost a sheep and went out and looked and he found it. Like if a lady swept her house to find that $100 coin, she would say, "Come and rejoice and celebrate." Just so I tell you, Jesus says, just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents. What does repent mean? Repent means to change your direction. It means to turn around. And Jesus illustrates this for us perfectly with this youngest son. He says, "I'm going to take what is mine. I'm going to take the good gifts from my Father, and I don't care about him. I don't care about my brother. I don't care about helping out with the family farm. I am out of here. I'm going to go do what I want in my way with dad's money," which is rightfully should be someday mine. He goes out into reckless living or riotous living. And doesn't God allow us to do that? Doesn't he just let us go our own way, be the captain of our own ship, and until it starts to sink? And here, this young man, he's out there with the pigs. He's out there, he's got nothing but hunger. And he says, he comes to himself, "You know, what am I doing? How many of my fathers," he starts to put it together, "my Father is good. He takes care of us. He provides even for the servants. I will arise and go to my Father." And so he does. You know what that's called? Repentance. That's where I say, "I have done wrong." He says, "I have sinned against heaven and against you." And he turns and he comes back. The end of the story is the older brother, who was right where he should have been, doing everything that he was supposed to be doing, but his heart was worse than his brother's. Because he's bitter, he's angry, he's disrespectful to his dad. You know, like, "You owe me, Dad, because I've been here. You never did any of this for me." And he is the Pharisee. He is the scribe. He knows what's right, always appears to be doing what's right, but inside is selfish and dead inside. And he cannot accept that his brother, who wasted his money, immoral, embarrassing living, could be welcomed back with the best robe, ring, steak dinner, invite everybody, there's music, there's even dancing. It's a parable, so it's okay in parables. How can this be? How can this son be so rebellious and sinful and dishonoring to his father who loves him and cares for him and be welcomed back with a celebration? Because that is the nature of grace. That is grace. It is that it does not compute in our way of thinking. The way we think is the oldest son, he should have the party. He should have the celebration. Not in God's eyes. In God's eyes, he says, the righteous, those who think that they're righteous, have no need to repent. And there's no joy over them. But when a sinner recognizes he's a sinner and that he has done wrong, and the end of that is misery, and he turns humbly and says, I shouldn't even be called your son. Just treat me like one of the servants. And God, our Heavenly Father, says, strike up the band. Because this is a sinner who has repented. They've turned from their own way, and they're coming to me for my mercy and my goodness and my grace. And there is joy in heaven and in the presence of the angels over one sinner who repents. Is that you? Have you come to that place of saying, I have been wrong in my sin, I have disobeyed and dishonored the God who made me, and I want to turn back to him for mercy? If you do that, then there will be celebration. He will not cast you out. He will embrace you because he is your heavenly Father. And he will give you the very best, not just from his riches, but according to his riches of grace and mercy. Now, it takes faith to believe that, because it doesn't make sense that sinful people could be welcomed with a celebration in God's presence. But that's the Father of our heart. That's the Father of my heart. Is he the Father of your heart? Have you turned from your sin? We call it repentance. And admitted to him that you're a sinner and just asked him for his forgiveness. Believing that Jesus died, as we remembered here, he died to forgive you, to welcome you back in. There's no punishment for the sinner that repents. All of that punishment Jesus took. He absorbed. So you're just trusting in him and coming to the Father. Jesus said there is no other way to come to the Father but by me, he said. So is that you? If it is you, then remember this. And even as a believer, when we stray and stumble, that you have a Heavenly Father looking for you and waiting for you with grace and with love to welcome you into his arms. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you that we can have this story, and we can look at the younger son, and we can look at the older son, and we can look at scribes and Pharisees, and yet thank you for this picture of your heavenly, fatherly love. That you would go to extreme measures to adopt us as your own children. In spite of who we are, making us your sons and daughters, giving us the very best. We can't even imagine what you have prepared for us. Lord, I pray if there's anyone sitting here, anyone listening, if they've never come to you as their own Father, as a heavenly, loving Father, that today they would turn from their sin and they would believe in you, and come running to you. And I pray for us as believers, it's so easy for us to lose sight of you and to stray in things of the world, and I pray that you would just draw us back. Let us come to the end of ourselves and the end of our sin and despise it and turn and repent and come to you for grace and goodness and joy. And thank you that you are a God of love who wants to celebrate over us. May we worship you together in Jesus' name. Amen.